When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sports betting for Wednesday, November 9th. I'm your host, Doug Reed. You can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. As always, this is the Sports Ethos presentation. You can check out our group at sportsethos.com. Find out our packages, find out lots of information, ton of podcasts. We are growing like crazy. So lots of information for wagering, for fantasy sports. Certainly we're checking out across all sports. I just want to highlight a couple of my partners here in the wagering division. We've got Blake LaWatch. If you haven't been trailing him or following him, he's on Twitter at Blake LaWatch. It's Blake, B-L-A-K-E, L-A-W-A-T-C-H. Now, him and I did mostly college basketball here at Ethos last year. We've got a third guy in the booth, which I'll talk about in a second. But Blake and I also did most of baseball during the summer, and combined, we had a really good year. We were up just over 33 units in total. I was 154 and 146, up 25.3 units. Blake was 98 and 91, up 7.95 units. Blake always likes to, especially in baseball, take, not always, but a lot of first five money line angles and totals angles, and brings a unique perspective. He's certainly worth following. He's also really into college basketball, off to a 3-0 start. I think I'm 5-3, so combined we're 8-3 out of the gate, so doing well for you. But he definitely knows the stuff in college basketball as well, so check him out if you haven't. And the third guy who we're just adding is been with Ethos for a while, but moving more into some of the wagering stuff as well, is Stephen Bagel. You can get him, you can find him on Twitter under the name of his podcast. It's at Bird Rights Pod. So B-I-R-D-R-I-G-H-T-S Pod. And he's a huge basketball fan. He's been into basketball wagering for a while. He's got a four-part series covering his expectations for college basketball for the year, which I would recommend you check out. You can find that. Go to our Ethos Wagering site or on any of your podcast providers under Bird Rights Pod. Quite an interesting piece for college basketball, but in general, for NBA, he puts a lot of good pieces together. So there's three of us that are making up the college basketball side. We've also got guys in the NBA, guys in the NFL. So lots of things going on. If you're not following us on Twitter, check out our Ethos Wagering account at Ethos Wagering, E-T-H-O-S, wagering, all one word. You get a lot of regular updates there. And if you're into basketball or football, check out our Ethos Fantasy BK for basketball, Ethos Fantasy FB for football. What I like those accounts is, especially in basketball, you get nightly updates on starting lineups. And especially when it comes to wagering, you know, you need to know who is playing, who's not playing, who's starting. You know, if you look at the line in the morning, you watch it all day, there's a good chance it moves, like the Bucks line today with Giannis being ruled out. That's now, I think they're what, a point and a half favorite. Dropped 3 or 4 points with him being ruled out. So you can be checking that on your own, but obviously if you have a Twitter account and you have the notifications turned on, you can get those immediate updates. So huge tool for you, I think, our Ethos Fantasy BK. And then on the weekends, you get the Ethos Fantasy FB for football, same kind of stuff. So enough about us, enough about me, about what we're doing. Let's look at the board tonight. Interesting board across some little football, some action again, NBA, some college basketball, some NHL, but we're going to start on the hard court in the NBA 13 games after their night off last night to let everybody in the U.S. get out and vote. Hope you all did if you're listening. But we start with an odd one at 5:30 in Orlando. I don't know why we're starting so early in Orlando, but they are. Dallas is in town. Dallas is 8.5-point favorites. Total here, 231.5. And pulling up the injury report, Dallas doesn't have anybody. Well, Hardaway is questionable. Christian Wood is still out. On the Magic side, Cole out. Paolo Banchero is questionable. Fultz out. Harris out. And Mo Wagner is still out. I'm not on this game. I like Dallas to win this. There's 360 on the money line. A little too pricey there. Maybe if I were to parlay that with another game, I could see myself looking at this game. But don't like laying 8.5 points on the road. Dallas is clearly the better team. But that's a little high for me. If anything, I would probably lay the 8.5. But a little high for me. Next game, 7-10 in the East. We have the Nuggets of Denver and Indiana to face the Pacers. Nuggets come in 5.5-point favorites. 235.5 is the total. On the injury report, nothing really new to report. The Pacers, Chris Duarte is out. Naismith is questionable. Daniel Theis is still out. That's about it. So relatively healthy game. I know here one of the guys at Ethos was big on Miles Turner and Indy getting over 2.5 blocks. He's gotten, and you think you're going against Jokic, why would he be doing that? But he's gotten, I think he's hit that in the last three games versus Denver. I mean, Jokic is a high volume player, puts up a lot of shots. Ball's going to be in his hand all the time. He's probably going to score 25 plus points. So putting up all those shots, good chance that Turner will be going against him and be able to get a few blocks, which Turner does anyway. So I think it is also, it was about plus 130 or plus 135, the number. So interesting play. If you're into that, if you're into some prop betting on this game, you want a little angle, you can look to Miles Turner on Indiana over 2.5 blocks. I think at about plus 130, 135. I'm not on the game. I like Denver. I just don't trust Denver on the road, and it's been tough for me the last couple of years. They're 6-3 overall, 2-3 on the road, averaging about 116.4, 114.5 against. You get Indiana, who is anti-defense as there is almost in the NBA. They're scoring just under 116. They're allowing 117.5. So if anything, I would look through the over. It's 235. 235.5 is a big number. If Denver gets up in the fourth quarter and his game gets a little bit out of hand, 8 to 10 points, all of a sudden Jokic is out. Maybe some of the big guys in Indiana are out and scoring slows down. I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head. If anything, I would lean Denver at 5.5 points and maybe look to the over. Again, Indiana just gives up so many points and doesn't play defense. Maybe a Tyrese Halliburton scoring prop. I think I looked at that earlier. I'm pulling it up now.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Halliburton's 19.5 points, and I think he's gotten over that in a number of games recently. So go to Tyrese Halliburton here, see what he's done recently. He has his last few games. Sorry about that. 20 points against New Orleans, 22 against Miami, just 11 against Brooklyn, 26 against Brooklyn, 25 against Washington, 17 against Chicago, 19 at Philly, 24 against Detroit, 27 against San Antonio. So he's definitely getting there in a game with a fairly high, obviously 235 total. Their implied total is about 115. The Pacers, probably not a bad option. I see it at minus 120. If I could get that in the minus 110, minus 115 range, might look to jump on that. But even 120 is not a bad price for Tyrese Halliburton. I'm not on the Turner prop that I spoke about earlier. It's an interesting play. I just think it's when I see a prop that's plus 130, plus 140 in an NBA game, a little too risky for me. except that implied numbers that it's not going to happen. And with a small sample size of three games, I think it could. If the game stays close, I definitely think it could. 5.5-point spread implies the game should be fairly close. 120 points for Denver. Jokic is going to be putting up a lot of shots. But I guess I'm just a little too risk averse. Who's kidding here? Next game of the night, we are in Charlotte for the Trailblazers. Portland Trailblazers come in 3.5-point favorite on the road. 219.5 is the total. Portland's surprising, I think, a lot of people, me especially. 6-3 overall, but 3-1 on the road. Very impressive. Basically, just under 110 points for 109 gains. So decent defense, a little better than league average. And on the flip side of that, Charlotte, who is underwhelming, 3-7 overall, just 1-3 at home, scoring about exactly 110 points, giving up about 114.5. You know, straight up when I looked at this, I figured I'd like Charlotte. But the more I dug into it, more I looked at the numbers, I can't really back Charlotte the way they're playing these days. LaMelo's obviously still out. Gordon Hayward's out. Cody Martin's doubtful. On the Portland side, the key here is Lillard is probable. So I think if he doesn't go, I think this line goes. Lillard doesn't go. I think this line might even flip to Charlotte by 0.5 or a pick'em. Or maybe it's at 3.5 right now for Portland, -3.5. I think if he doesn't go, it's probably down to 0.5 or even pick him. Jeremiah Grant, questionable. And like I said, Lillard probable. As I scroll down, sorry, Jokic is questionable. And Simons is probable. Winslow's probable. If any combination of those guys, specifically Lillard, everything I've heard is that he's playing. But if any combination of Lillard, Nurkic, and Simons are out, I think the line comes down. If two of those three guys are out, I think it definitely sways to Charlotte. So I'm not on this now. I'm going to wait and see. Game's 7-10 in these. Wait and see which way it goes. The injury report goes. Because if they are not playing, you've also got some props that I guess could come into play, but I think they're all going to be playing. So if they're not playing, then I think the line moves, and then I'd probably lean towards Charlotte. But for now, I'm just going to watch it. Next game of the night in Boston. Celtics are 13.5-point favorites over the Detroit Pistons. Total here, 226.5. And for Boston, pretty much everybody is healthy. For the Pistons, Bagley is still out. Alec Burks is out, but nothing other than that. And this is an odd game to handicap. I actually might lean. I'm not on this game, but I might lean towards the Pistons. Just a lot of points. And Boston's been giving up. If you listen to my show recently, Boston's been giving up a lot of points, which is not their normal way of playing. Celtics 6-3 overall at home, 3-1. Typical Celtics numbers. Just under 119.4, just over 115 against their averaging. And we get the Pistons the other end of the spectrum, 2-8 overall, 0-6 on the road, scoring exactly 110 points a game, giving up 114 and change. The alarming number in those stats is that the Celtics are giving up over 115 points. One of the worst defenses in the league. And that is not traditionally the way they played. Certainly not in the last few years. So anyways, 226.5, you know, the Celts could put up, when I'm looking up their numbers, their implied point totals just under 120. I was going to say they could put up 130. The question is, are the Pistons going to lay an egg like they've done so many times in the last couple of years and just get blown out by 30 or 40 points and not even get to 100? Or are they going to keep the game competitive? I think if the Pistons keep the game within 13 points, which is a spread, this total goes over 226.5. Celtics are going to score. Celtics are going to give up points. I think the Pistons can score some points. Cunningham's been playing well. Jaden Ivey's had a typical rookie year, hot and cold. He's looked really good. He's looked really bad. Not really bad, but he's missed some shots. He's had some weak games. So I like the way he's playing. Sadiq Bey. Bojan Bogdanovic is hot and cold. He's come back down to earth, yes, but he has the ability to put some points up especially against the Celtics when their lack of defense. Hard to say in this game. I don't like the number. It's too big. I would lean the Pistons at +13. And because I'm leaning that way, I would lean the total over 226. It's not a massive number. The Celtics are not playing good defense. I think it comes down to Celtics will score and Celtics will go up points. Can Cunningham, Ivy, Bay, and Bogdanovic hit their shots? And if they can, you know, they get to 110, 112 points as total sales over the 226.5. Next game is the Rockets. Houston is in Toronto to play the Raptors. Raptors 10-point favorites. Total here is 224. Didn't get the hook there. When I pull up the injury log here, we don't have a lot of Jayson Tate is out again for the Rockets. Not much after that. For the Raps, you obviously have Pascal Siakam out, and Ken Birch is listed as out. Much like the Celtics game, I think the Raptors win this. I think they win it fairly easily. But I don't like laying 10 points with Toronto, especially with Siakam out. His ability to play slow, low-scoring games, 224.5 is the total. It's a little higher than what I thought. I guess with Siakam out, the defense isn't going to be quite as strong. So I think the Raps win. I think they might keep it a little closer, or maybe he's going to keep it closer. Tabari Smith's been playing fairly well. Kevin Porter Jr. can put up some points. Eric Gordon can score, can take a lot of shots, going to miss most of them, but he can score some points. And, you know, the Raps got Christian Coloco starting at center against probably Sengun. Should be an interesting matchup. But I don't think their offense is quite as strong, and their defense isn't going to be quite as strong. So I am leaning towards Houston at plus 10. I think the Raps win. Minus 500 on the money line. Not going to be touching that one for Toronto. So I'd lean plus 10 with the Rockets. And I'd actually lean under 224. I just think Toronto could slow the game down and keep Houston really in check. You know, the implied point total for Toronto was about 117.5. Call it 117. Houston is 107. I can see the Raps limiting the mean less than that. And if they get up a fair bit in the fourth quarter, kind of coast to the finish line. Next game, the Battle of New York in Brooklyn. We have the home Nets, 3.5-point favorites over the visiting Knicks. Total here, 220.5, which is kind of surprising for a Nets game. Kyrie is obviously out. On the Knicks side, Quentin Grimes is questionable, not a huge factor there. Mitchell Robinson is out. And other than that, fairly healthy. Brooklyn comes in 4-6 overall, 2-4 at home, scoring 112 points for, giving up about 113. And the Knicks come in 4-5 overall, 1-3 on the road, but hardly a road game, giving up over 114 points to scoring, giving up about 116 points. So similar numbers. The Knicks defense is actually even worse than the Nets. But with Kyrie out, are the Nets going to score like they usually do? Obviously, KD can put up a 50-burger on anybody when he wants to. Not when he wants to, but when he from time to time. Brooklyn's 5-point total here is about 112. The Knicks, 108. Actually, the way I look at this, a little surprised the total is so low. I get it. Kyrie's not out. Simmons is playing. What that amounts to, who knows? Obviously, he's a benefit of the defensive side for Brooklyn. And moves the ball well. Can't put the ball in the ocean, unfortunately. But if anything, I would lean to the over. You know, this will probably be a close game, 3.5-point spread. So two possession game, the market's saying. And 220.5 for two teams who don't play a lot of defense. And whenever you've got the Brooklyn on the floor, Kyrie or not, they have the ability to put up points. So I'll maybe look over 220.5 in this game. As far as the spread, can't touch this game. Kyrie's playing, I like the Nets at certain nights, but when he's not, don't have a good feel. Don't like betting against Durant, because like I said, he can go off and carry a team. But on the flip side, Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle and the Knickerbockers are hard for me to get a handle on as well. So staying away there. Next game, we see Utah in Atlanta to play the Hawks. The Hawks are 4-point favorites against the upstart Jazz. Total here, 229.5. When I go to the injury report, Atlanta, Trae Young's questionable. For Utah, Vanderbilt is questionable, and that is about it. So obviously, this game hinges on Trae Young's availability. And if Trae Young plays, I think I'm going to actually be on Houston at -4 here. I know Utah's playing well. They committed 8-3, 4-3 on the road, scoring over 116, giving up basically 112 points, playing really well. So much for tanking, but off to a hell of a start. Atlanta on the other side is 6-3 overall. What are they? 3-1 at home and scoring about 116.5, giving up just over 115 per game. So I like Atlanta to win. I just, you know, I'm just not buying the Utah train yet. They're a good team. Markkanen's been playing fantastic. Conley's back. He's playing. You know, maybe even look at scoring prop for him. I think it's about 12. I think it was up to actually 13. If it was 12, 11.5, I'd be on it. 13, maybe not. Point is, they're playing well. Those guys aren't playing to lose. Management might wish they were losing, but they're not playing to lose. So hats off to them. I just think an 8-3 mark is a bit of fool's gold. They've got some good players, but I don't think they're going to be able to match up with Atlanta tonight. And I see the Hawks winning. You know, the Hawks in the money line at minus 170. If you don't want to lay the 4 points. But I think I'd lay the 4 points. If Trey Young's out, obviously this game is off the board to me. But if he's playing, I think you're going to be on the Hawks at -4 tonight. Take a quick break and come back with the rest of the board and hit some college ball after that. All right, we are back. And we're in San Antonio, where the Memphis Grizzlies are in town. The Grizz come in 5.5-point favorites over the hometown Spurs, total 234.5. Let's go to the injury report here from Memphis. Steven Adams is questionable. Triple J is still out. That is about it for them. On the Spurs side, we have Doug McDermott listed as available, so he's back, so that's good for them. And nothing after that, really. When I look at this game, I'm really tempted to take Memphis, and I think I'll end up being on Memphis. They come in 7-3 overall, 3-3 on the road. Typical Memphis, scoring 117, giving up 115, so lots of offense. San Antonio, 5-5 overall, lost three straight. They're 2-3 at home, 113, just over 113 per game they're scoring, giving up 121 points a game. That is the worst, second worst in the NBA to Golden State, if you can believe that. 121.2 points a game they're giving up. Warriors giving up 121.4. Who'd have thunk it? Both those teams. Greg Popovich coach team, never would they give up those kind of points. And a Golden State Warriors, all-around solid championship-level team. Who thought they'd be giving up the most? Two teams are giving up the most points in the NBA. Certainly not me. Anyways, back to the game. Memphis. I like Memphis. Total here is 234. With those numbers, it might look to the over. You know, the Grizz aren't exactly known as a tight defensive ship themselves. So I do like Memphis, 2.5. Everybody's healthy. Jaws back. Desmond Bane's been shooting the lights out. Even if Adams doesn't play, you know, that just means Brandon Clark's getting in there a little more. Santi Aldama, those guys maybe rotate between the 4 and the 5. Getting Jacob Poeltl on San Antonio. And I just like the way Memphis is playing. They can get on a run. Their implied point total here is 120. So I don't think I'd be on a Bane prop. When I pull up his number, 21.5, juice to minus 130. Shop that around. You know, maybe you can get if you can get it closer to 110, that'd be good. But with an implied total of 120, that's probably not a bad-looking prop. Trey Jones in San Antonio, 12.5 points. He's starting a point guard. I know I've missed on the – I think I missed twice, actually, in his props this year. But in a game where they're expected to score 114.5 points is their implied point total, he's going to definitely get some points and probably worth looking at. So if I were looking at number Jaws at 28.5 points, that's juiced to minus 145. I just don't like taking his point totals because obviously he can go off. But that's a big number. If the game gets out of hand, I don't know if it'll get out of hand. 5.5 point spread, it's not expected to get out of hand. But if it does, if San Antonio has a meltdown and give up a ton of points early in the game, it's out of hand. He's not going to see the court very much in the fourth quarter. So if anything, I would look to the Desmond Bane scoring prop. I think I'm going to be on Memphis, though, -5.5. And just in general, they can score, but it's more a call against San Antonio really struggling this year. So I think I would lean towards the Grizz at -5.5. Next game is in Oklahoma City, where the Bucks are in town, 8-10 in the East. You get the Bucks at -1.5 over the home Thunder. 212.5 is the total. when we look, and I'm pretty sure everybody knows what I'm going to say before I even say it in this one. When we look at the injury lineup here, the injury list story, obviously Giannis is out for Milwaukee. That's why it's a 1.5 point total. Connaughton is also out. Drew Holiday, Joe Ingles, and Chris Middleton all out, continue to be out for the Bucks. On the OKC side, Chet Holmgren's still obviously out. Pokuševski is questionable. And that is about it for them. This is, you know, I might actually still go with the Bucks. When I look at their lineup, so yeah, they've got Javon Carter in there as their, you know, at the two probably. But George Hill, a veteran, can play the game, point guard. Grayson Allen, he can have bad games when his shot's off, but at worst, he's going to get you 8 to 10 points. He may go off for 18 to 20 points. And then you got Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez, probably going to log huge minutes. I was looking at some point totals for them. Didn't really bite on any yet. The one I liked the most, I think, was Brooke Lopez. Yeah, Brooke Lopez, 17.5 points. A little high for him. If Bobby Portis takes over, you know, Portis probably going to be playing the four, and Lopez obviously the five. So Portis is taking over the Giannis role. I don't know that Lopez's role changes a ton, but the ball will probably be in his hands a little more, and I could see him getting there. It's a bit of a stretch. It's only juiced to minus 110. So if I were going to be in any prop in this game, it would be that one. My point was, though, you got Lopez, Porter, Allen, and Hill, all professionals. All guys have been around. Going against OKC, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is going to put up some points. But after that, Josh Giddey, Lou Dort, Jalen Williams, Jeremiah Robinson-Earl. Who knows what you get from those guys? You know, a couple years down the road, maybe Giddey, Pokuševski, sure. Baisley's on their bench. The other guys, who knows? You know, Holmgren will be there down the road, sure, but not tonight. So I'm actually thinking I'm leaning Milwaukee -1.5. If I'd have looked at this game earlier in the day, this probably would have been -5.5, -6, -7. Giannis is out. It's not. So I think I'm going to be on the Bucks at -1.5. And the next game in Chicago, the home Bulls are 2-point underdogs. New Orleans in town, -2, 232.5 is the total. On the injury list, Lonzo obviously is still out. Andre Drummond is probable. Kobe White is out. On New Orleans side, Larry Nance Jr. is questionable. And I haven't pulled the trigger. I'm not sure I will, but I lean towards the Bulls. Bulls are a tough team at home. I know this year they haven't been playing fantastic. They come in 5-6 overall, 3-2 at home, scoring about 111.5 points, giving up 110.5. The Pels on the other side, 5-4, 3-3 on the road, scoring 118 points, giving up 113. So a little stronger numbers, marginally stronger. I just don't like going against Chicago at home. In fact, I like backing Chicago at home. You know, DeSumo's going to start at the point. LaVine is playing tonight, which is good. DeRozan is playing. I heard there was some thought he was, might not be, but he is from what I've seen. Patrick Williams, and then Vukovic at five. I don't know. You know, I think this is a tight game. The Pels have been playing well. Chicago's a better team than what they've shown. You know, they're 5-6, just under 500, 3-2 at home. That's not their MO. They're a better team than that. I like the way DeSumo's playing. A lot of people are saying that he's going to – obviously, when Ball comes back, he's going to his minutes are going to be cut way down. But the kid plays hard at both ends. And I think he adds a lot to the team other than just scoring. And better than Caruso. Caruso's on. He's a hard worker. He's a great star and all. But I don't think he adds the full game like DeSumo does. So I think I'm leaning towards the Bulls at +2. I haven't pulled the trigger yet. I just don't like going against the Bulls. They play well at home. They've got a good lineup. Zach LaVine's there. DeRozan's playing. Vucevic's healthy. I would lean. I'm looking at the Bulls +2. 232.5. Not going to touch that total. Next game, 8-10 in the East in Minnesota. And we've got Phoenix in town. T-Wolves are 1.5-point favorites, 222.5. And Chris Paul is out for this game, which is why I think Minnesota's the favorite. Jay Crowder out still. Cam Johnson obviously is out. And Chris Paul out on the Minnesota side. Everybody is healthy. And Minnesota on the season, 5-5 at home. They're 4-3, scoring basically 114-4 and 114 against versus Phoenix, 7-2 in the season. And they're 1-1 on the road, 115 points, 404 against. They're giving up. And I, you know, if Chris Paul's playing, I think this line flips. Although they're on the road, I still think Phoenix is a point and a half favorite. I don't know. I don't like taking a lot of road teams. Traditionally in the NBA, when they're playing a team like Minnesota that's been doing decent, not great. And sort of look pretty good out of the gate, kind of slowed down a little. But I think I would lean Phoenix at +1.5. I know Chris Paul isn't there, but Devin Booker's still Devin Booker. He can take over and do well. DeAndre Ayton's back, although he's not doing much. Cameron Payne has been doing well at the point guard position. So I would lean Phoenix +1.5. He'd probably stay away from me. Second last game of the night is in Sacramento, where we've got the Kings and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland comes in at -4, 227.5 is the total for Cleveland. Isaiah Mobley and Ricky Rubio remain out. And for Sacramento, Malik Monk is questionable. -4, interesting number. I think I'm on Cleveland in this game. Cleveland... doing very well, 8-1 overall. They won 8 straight. They are 4-1 on the road, scoring about 116 points, just giving up 104. So playing really well on the defensive side. Just went in to beat the Clippers and the Lakers. And, just updating my screen here. What am I talking about? 8-2 overall. I was looking at the wrong numbers. And I'm like, they didn't just beat them both. They split. They lost to the Clippers, beat the Lakers. 8-2 overall, 4-2 on the road. Lost one in a row. But like I said, scoring just over 116, giving up just over 105. Playing really well. And Sacramento, I think they're in tank mode. They should be in tank mode. 3-6 overall, 1-3 at home. Giving up 115, scoring 117. So there's a team playing one-way basketball, scoring a lot of points, giving up a lot of points. And I just think Cleveland's at the end of the West Coast road trip, but a couple games in L.A. and then on to Sacramento. It's not like they've been flying all over the place, kind of grounded in California for a little while. I like the Cavs. I like them at -4, 227.5. I would even look at this total. Cleveland can score a lot, obviously, and Sacramento gives up a lot of points, but Sacramento likes to play run and gun, so... Cleveland's defense is solid, but the Kings like to score. I think this game gets out of hand, but I could see Cleveland being up a fair bit in the fourth quarter. So Sacramento just keeps running and trying to catch up. Not on the total. Going to be on the Cleveland -4 number, though. The final game of the night is the Battle of the City of Angels in Los Angeles. We have who's home here? The Lakers are at the Clippers. And the Lakers... We have, look at that, LeBron and AD listed as probable. I don't even know why they put them there. Just put them as probable for the rest of the year. Anyways, probable. Lonnie Walker is questionable. On the Clippers side, we have Kawhi as out. No kidding. And Paul George is back. So Clips -3, total 219.5. I like the Clippers here. Pretty simple. They're a better team. I have no faith in the Lakers this year at all. The Lakers come in 2-8. I know that they're the road team tonight, but doesn't really matter. They're 2-4 at home, 0-4 on the road. 108.5, 4, just over 116 against they're giving up. The Clippers, 6-5. Home road doesn't really matter again. Scoring about 104 points per game, giving up 107. Clippers are not really clipping along that well, shall we say. But they're still 6-5, and the Lakers are really struggling. I just don't. If neither the big guys are playing tonight, LeBron or Davis are out, I think this number goes up even a couple more. But even if they are, you've got George, he's healthy. Reggie Jackson's playing. Terrence Mann's been playing well. Ivica Zubac has his games, has his moments. And Marcus Morris trying to defend LeBron and get in his head should be an interesting watch. But I know LeBron gets up for the big games. I don't know if this is a big game anymore. Yeah, it's Battle of LA, but it's mid-November. One team struggling to find themselves, playing brutal basketball. I'm on the Clippers here, -3. If any news breaks of either the big guys, LeBron being out or AD being out, I think this goes to -5, -5.5. Try and jump on it before that happens. So that's a wrap of the NBA. Going to take a quick break, and when we get back, get into some college basketball, some interesting games on the slate tonight. All right, we stay on the hardwood, but this time at the collegiate level. Excuse me. We travel to Wright State for at 7 p.m. in East. Davidson is in town. Davidson comes in as 4-point favorites. Steph Curry's alma mater. Total here, 151.5. I'm actually on Wright State. Davidson, obviously, in the A-10, and Wright State in the Horizon League. A-10 is a much better competition, or much better league. Davidson, much better team, I think. But I think early in the season, at home, Wright State has the ability to keep this game fairly close. And Davidson bringing in some new players and still getting things together. New coach, although son of the former coach. So Davidson now has, as their head coach, Matt McKillop, taking over from his dad. So I don't think it'll be a huge change. They play a very structured, very solid all-around game. I don't think it'll be a huge change, but there is a change going on. And I just think Wright State has the ability at home to keep this game close. The 4-point, a lean +4 with Wright State. Not on it, but a lean there. Next game I think that's interesting, UT Martin in Youngstown State. And Youngstown State, 8.5-point favorite. Total here, 155. And if anything, I would actually lean Youngstown State. That's a lot of points to give up, I know. But I could see them getting there at that 9-10. I mean, it's a pretty tight number. If you get it at 8, I'd be on that. I just think they have the ability to put the ball in the basket a little better. Tend to play some high-tempo ball. Youngstown, I don't think they've played. Well, they played Canisius. Nah, not that that's a whole lot to brag about. Beat Canisius 92-81 on Monday. So obviously scored a lot, but surprisingly gave up a lot to Canisius. UT Martin, Pittsburgh, and lost 80-52. Much better showing there. I think people are leaning towards UT Martin because that first game was a better outing against better competition, at least. And Youngstown State didn't look great against Canisius, but they're home. And I lean with the home team in this game. Not a huge lean, but may play it. Next game is interesting. 8 o'clock in the East, IUPUI plays Drake. And the spread here is 26 points, 131.5. And, you know, when I look at KenPom, if you look at the KenPom rating service, they've got this as a 30-point spread. And IUPUI, the story with them is they held open tryouts in the middle of the year last year. They were so short of players and in need of players. And I don't think it was a bunch of injuries. They just didn't have enough kids on the roster. So this is a bad, bad team. And I don't know that Drake is great, but IUPUI is almost the worst rated team in the country on KenPom. And Drake comes in around 75. So not a tournament level team, but maybe on the outside looking in if they can have a good run. If anything, I would lean Drake, -26 here. They can put up points. They've got some veterans there. IUPUI, who knows who's going to be on the court. Can't be as bad as last year. But if anything, like I said, I would lean Drake in this game. Kansas City's in Louisiana to play LSU. The Tigers are 23-point favorites, 137.5. I'm not on this game. I think LSU wins it easy. 23 is just a little high. Kansas City's a better team than that. If anything, I would lean +23 with Kansas City in this game. 8 o'clock in the East, Monmouth is in Seton Hall for Shaquille Holloway's debut in front of the home crowd for the Pirates. Pirates come in 20-point favorites. Now, I'm actually on Monmouth. They're just not that bad a team, I don't believe. Can score a little. Traditionally play fairly slow pace. I guess about average pace. But I don't think they're going to get caught up in the hype. They're in the Colonial, which obviously is nowhere near the Big East. And Seton Hall, the angle with them, with Shaheen Holloway coming in, is I think in a month or two, they're going to be better. He's coming off his the St. Peter story, but he did so well in the tournament last year as the almost Cinderella of the tournament. Great story. He's brought a few players over with him from St. Peter's, which be interesting to see how well they do in Big East play. This is not Big East play, but I'm just not sure the story comes together right away. Everybody wants this, and I do too. Everybody wants this guy to do well. Everybody wants Seton Hall to do well. It's always Big East is better when Seton Hall is better. But what we want and what happens isn't always the same thing. So he had a great couple-week run with St. Peter's, and let's see how that translates to hopefully a couple three-seasons at Seton Hall. I think he's a good coach. I think he'll be able to get them there. But right out of the gate, you've got a bunch of different players coming in. You've got a new coach. Everybody's hyping the heck out of him. Everybody's figuring they're just going to come in and roll. Why? You know, he brought players from St. Peter's. That was great. They had a good run. They're now in the Big East. Okay. Again, Monmouth's not the Big East. I get that. But they've got to gel. They've got to figure out the system. They've got to work together. I have faith that he'll get them there, but not in early November to the tune of 20 points. So I'm a Monmouth plus 20. Big number, I know. Do they win? Sure. 15, 16, 17 points. Not by 20. 9 o'clock in the East, South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits are in Boise State. The State face the Broncos. Boise State, 6.5-point favorite. 145 points is the total here. I've gone back and forth in this game all day. I wasn't on the Jackrabbits in their first game of the year against Akron. I was on Akron, and they ended up losing 81-80 in OT. And interesting thing is that it went over the number. I thought it was going to be under because they've lost Baylor Shireman. They've lost him and the next best scorer, who accounted for about 48% of their scoring. The next three scorers came back. But I just thought it was going to be a bit of adjustment time. And what they do, they went out and scored 80 points against Akron. I realize Akron isn't a huge defensive team, but they're a pretty decent team. And the interesting thing was the Jackrabbits, so South Dakota State angle is always three-point shooting. They shot 4-for-15. Against South Dakota. So again, Shireman's not there. Their big guns aren't there. But the rest of their players behind them all had really good three-point shooting percentages last season. And they shot 4-for-15, which is 267. If they even hit, you know, I think they were the best three-point shooting team in the country. They were shooting closer to 40%. So that's three or four more shots they're hitting there. That's another, you know, 9 to 12 points. They could have easily beaten Akron if they hit that total from last year. Again, comparing last year to this year, it's impossible with that guy's not there, but they should have scored better than that. So I think they have the ability to score. Now I know going from Dayton, Ohio from Akron, Ohio, all the way across country to Boise State in a couple of days is a long road to haul. However, they do South Dakota State just by nature of where they are have to travel. I think these kids know how to travel. And I think this game's going to be closer than what people think. Everybody's on Boise. It's their first game of the year. Everybody's on them to do well in the Mountain West. And I think they will. I just think South Dakota State has the ability to surprise everybody they play. I know it's only one game. Maybe I'm overreacting because I was a little down. I just thought the shakeup, the change of Shireman being out and new shooters, not really sure. I mean, guys in the team who've been there before, but not really sure if they can step up. And I think they did. They stepped up against Akron, and they still didn't shoot all that well. So going into Boise, I would actually be on South Dakota State at plus 6.5. Haven't made this play yet. If I can find a little better line, if it gets to 7, I'll be on them for sure. But I lean with the Jackrabbits, and not just because they're fun to watch, because they are, but I just think they have the ability to keep this game close. On the extra games, the board with the extra part of the games, we go back to 7 a.m. in American versus Marist. And I'm seeing this. I got this Marist at minus 1. It's bounced basically between minus 1 and minus 2. I think it opened about minus 3. And I just think Marist is a better team. This game's hard to tell. I mean, when I look at KenPom, we got Marist by 3. So I was happy when I got it at 1. I know in the Patriot League, American had a pretty bad year last year, and they returned all their players. So, you know, usually it's like, well, it's a good thing I got all their players back, continuity, sure, but the players didn't do much last year. They didn't have a single player who averaged more than 5 rebounds a game. So Marist is a little bigger. They shoot three a little better than the Patriot League. They did than the Patriot League American school. They didn't exactly light up the Metro Athletic Conference themselves. Metro Athletic Association. I apologize themselves. But they've always played a good tight team game. They're not a great scoring team, so laying points is always questionable. But they've always played a good, solid, all-round game. Again, a little bigger, shoot the three a little better. Neither team's an offensive juggernaut. The home team, got to give them a boost. Opening night, I don't know that this is exactly a rabid stadium in, what is it, the McMahon Center, I think, in Poughkeepsie, New York. But I think Marist is a little better. So laying a point, I'd go up to two, maybe even 2.5 probably with Marist. I'm definitely on them. Next game to watch in, I think, 9 o'clock in the East, Bellarmine is at Louisville. And there I see Louisville minus 8. This game opened at, I think, about minus 12 and got hit hard. I wish I'd been on it. If I, had I seen that number, I probably would have been on it. Not sure I want to go Bellarmine minus 8. Louisville is expected to be really bad this year. And Bellarmine is expected to be a decent team. Their first year, won the conference last year. First year in D1, and they went out and won their conference. I don't think they were allowed to, the A-Sun, that's right, the Atlantic Sun, they weren't allowed to represent because it was their first year in D1. You know, I don't know who created that rule, but I would love to have a conversation with that person in that committee because there is no sense to that rule. You move up from D2 to D1, and you can't participate in your league tournament. It's happened to, I think it happened to Merrimack a couple years ago. Not that they're in the position to run the table, but they were kind of a mid-pack team, and they weren't allowed to play in their conference playoffs in basketball. Stupidest rule. Like Bellarmine, I'm not sure, comes up, wins the A-Sun, let them go to the big dance. Let them compete in the tournament. Like they won the regular season, and they weren't allowed to win the playoff bracket. It's just the stupidest rule ever. Anyways, it doesn't affect tonight's game. They're a decent team. A bit of an upstart school. Good for them for moving up and doing well. And Louisville is really expected to struggle this year. So when I heard the number, I heard the number was at 12. Didn't get it. It's now at about plus 8 for Bellarmine. A little tight for me. Next game, I am on 10 in the East. Florida Gulf Coast is in San Diego State. Dunk City, Florida Gulf Coast, finds themselves 3.5 point underdogs. So you can get San Diego minus 3.5. Total here is 146. And I, you know, when I saw this game, I figured San Diego's going to be 5-6 point favorite. And it came out at 3.5, 4. It's down to 3.5. So I'm all over San Diego here. The Toreros with Steve Lavin as their coach. He's a solid coach. They had a decent year last year in the West Coast Conference. And I know Dunk City, everybody loves getting on them. Great story 2 years ago. And had a decent last year in the A-Sun. But I just think San Diego's a better team. Lavin's a very good coach. Pat Chambers, the coach of Florida Gulf Coast, is decent as well. But Lavin's been there. I think San Diego's a deeper team, returning a fair number of their players. And Florida Gulf Coast did beat USC on Monday. That's, I think, what's driving everybody. They beat them 74-61. So, shocker, for sure. Ken Palm's got USC ranked 56 and Florida Gulf Coast ranked 209. So huge shocker. He's got San Diego ranked 142 and, like I said, Florida Gulf Coast 209. But I think a lot of times people overreact when they see that USC big name brand, you know, kind of a bubble team, maybe if they can get out of the Pac-12, win it or get the conference championship, maybe they're a bubble team, get some big wins along the way. Maybe. Oh my God, who upset them? Dunk City. Oh wow, this is a great story. Everybody loves Florida Gulf Coast start. Big upset of a brand name school. Let's just pump the brakes a little. I mean, they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. They'll have a good run in the Atlantic Sun, I think. But San Diego's a good team too. And I think they're going to San Diego. You know, you're not obviously that far traveling from USC to San Diego. But I think, you know, it's kind of one of that prove it to me. You got to beat a few teams in a row until everybody says, yeah, you're legitimately a much better team this year. So I'm on San Diego, 3.5. I thought the spread should have been 5 or 6. So happy to take the Toreros on my last game of the night that I'm on the hard courts. We go to the NHL. And there are, what, four games tonight. 7-5 in East Carolina's in Florida to play the Panthers. This is going to be a hell of a game. Really like this game. Hoping to catch a bit of it. Carolina on the road, -125. You get the home Panthers, +105. Total here, 6.5. Juice to the over, -120. I'd actually take the under, +100. I think both these teams are going to try and lock it down, play a slow, defensive-oriented game. And I think there's value of Panthers at +105 at home. Carolina's a better team, but the Panthers have the ability to beat anybody. They're at home. They're obviously better at home. And I think if this is a tight defensive game, it favors the Panthers. So +105 in a money line is probably some value there. Pittsburgh versus Washington, Crosby versus Ovechkin. This game never gets old to me. Two of the greatest players in the last 20 years of this sport. 735 in the East. Pittsburgh is in town on the road, -125 in a money line. The home Caps, +105. Total here is 6.5. Doesn't everybody want to see a lot of goals in these two teams play? I sure do. Over 6.5. Actually, juice to the under, -125. I would look over. Crosby, Malkin, Ovechkin, the boys, they can score. They can all score. Plus money, probably some value there. Can they get to 7? I think they can. And Washington won last game at home as an underdog. And the underdog here, +105. I actually like the Caps. Again, +105. Straight up, I like Pittsburgh, you know, on a neutral site, which has never played in the NHL. But Washington, +105, I think some value. Vancouver's in Montreal. The battle of the struggling Canadian teams. The Canucks come in as -165 favorite to the home Habs, +145. Total here is 6.5. Juice to the under, -130. You can get the under at +110. This game's a stay away from for me. I think Vancouver's a better team, but they've been struggling. They're on the road. Montreal, if the game's close, they've got some fantastic fans. Might will them to the win, so not going to be on this one. Last game of the night, probably not on either. 10:05 in the East, Minnesota is in Anaheim to play the Ducks. Minnesota, you can get them -160 in the money line. The home Ducks at +140. Total here is 6.5. Minnesota's just too good a team not to back against Ducks. Ducks are getting +140. Is there value there? I don't think so. Can they win? Sure, perhaps. But I like Minnesota to win. Laying 160 in the road is a little steep. So if anything, I'm on Florida at home, +105 against Carolina. Maybe Washington at home, +105 against Pitt. And the under in the Florida-Carolina game, under 6.5, +100, I might look at that. And the over in the Pitt-Washington game, over 6.5, +105. A lot of plus numbers, which I don't usually like to jump on that much, but they're all right around even to +105. Now, the last of some action, football game tonight. Football games tonight, 7 in the East. We've got Buffalo at Central Michigan. The Bulls come in +2.5. You can get the home Central Michigan team at -2.5. Total here is 53. This is a tough one. I like Buffalo. Buffalo's been playing well. Buffalo can score some points. And on the road, not a huge fan of taking road teams usually in a tight spread like this. But with Maxion, you never know. It's kind of like, why don't they just play every game on a neutral site on Tuesday or Wednesday night? Always crazy scoring, always crazy score. So I'm on Buffalo +2.5. Next game, Kent State at Bowling Green. Kent State comes in -2.5, and total here is 55.5. If anything, I lean the road Kent State squad at -2.5. Again, this game's a coin flip. I'm really staying away from action tonight, but if you force me to make a call, I would take Kent State. I just think they're a slightly better team. Final game, Northern Illinois -1 at Western Michigan, and total here 49.5. I would take the home Western Michigan squad. I just don't, again, what I just said earlier, I'm not really a fan of either of these teams. I'm not sure, you know, 1-point spread is kind of, it is clearly a coin flip. So I would stay away from the last two games. If anything, I'd be on Buffalo +2.5. They have the ability to score. They have the ability to win. Total 53, might even run over. Should be a cool, but very playable night in Michigan tonight. So weather will be something they can, so, it'll be favorable weather. Buffalo, let's see, the money line +115. It might not be a bad option too, but you know what? I'll that's probably what I go for. I think Buffalo could win, so I'd take the +115 on the money line. If you want to be a little more conservative, you can take the +2.5 on the spread at -110. So, big night in the NBA. lots of, well, fair bit of college basketball, a couple NHL plays, and not a lot of action, but maybe the Buffalo Bulls come through. Before I go, I want to remind you of our partner, one of our partners here at Sports Ethos. It's Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com, and at checkout, use the code HOOPBALL20, that's HOOPBALL20, for 20% off your orders and free shipping. And also, if you're into daily fantasy sports, try our partner at Thrive. It's Thrive. Go to thrive.com and check them out. You prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com, as I said. When you sign up, use the code ETHOS, E-T-H-O-S, to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either two or four free game tickets to play. Basically, you pick player props and the biggest names playing each night, score points when they hit, and the players with the most points on a head-to-head basis win the share of the nightly prize. And if you're looking for prop information, we've got a ton at Sports Ethos. We've got a daily DFS basketball podcast going right now. We've got weekly DFS football podcasts. We've got sports wagering information. I didn't give a lot of props here today, but often we give out props. Going to have some guests on, hopefully in their future, giving out some more props or ideas. Football, basketball, ton of prop information. Daily, weekly. Check us out at Ethos. You can get information and use that to make some cash on Thrive Fantasy. So hopefully you got a couple plays tonight. Hopefully you got some leans, some sides, some ideas, whether the hard court, the ice, the maxion on the gridiron. Lots going on. Lots of angles for you. Hopefully make some money. And we will catch you tomorrow.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.